This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Unwired LA. We're about to speak to Denise Koenig, who is a spokesperson for SPC, about Project Lightspeed. Welcome to Unwired LA.
Thank you.
I've been covering the unwiring of Los Angeles, and then late last week I discovered that SPC was about to spend $4 billion to actually wire, although not really wire, fiber optic, its service area. What is Project Lightspeed, and what's it intended to do?
Well, first of all, Project Lightspeed is the most aggressive IP-based fiber deployment of any company, and it provides a number of important advantages. What we can do is, with superior speed to market and exciting market-changing services, we can leapfrog today's telephone and cable TV networks.
Okay. Say a little bit about those. Well, there's so many things to talk about. Let's try to do them one at a time. How much is this project expected to cost?
Our capital investment will be approximately $4 billion, which is at the low end of our previously announced range of $4 billion to $6
billion. Right.
And what this will allow us to do is to deliver advanced services like IP-based television service, as well as IP-based voice and data.
Right.
And we will actually bring about 20 to 25 megabits per second to each customer.
25. Let's say that again. 20 to 25 megabits per to each customer.
To each customer served by this network, and we plan to reach about 18 million households by 2007.
Okay.
Which is about half of the homes we serve.
Now, are we talking about this is going to take place in the entire SPC service area?
It'll take place to about half of our households, or about 18 million homes, by the year end 2007.
Right, but I meant whether it would be concentrated in California or whether it would be all over the places that SPC serves.
Excuse me, it'll be across our nationwide footprint, which is currently in 13 states.
13 states, and how many customers do you have?
We have 38 million homes, and we're going to plan to pass initially 18 million homes within the first 3 years of deployment.
Okay, now this being fiber, you're going to have to dig some big holes around the country?
Well, what we're doing is we're actually taking advantage of a technology called fiber to the neighborhood.
Right.
Which is less disruptive because we don't have to dig up, you know, yards and things like that to go all the way to a customer's home.
Right.
And so we can actually reach a significant amount of customers in a short period of time and deliver the bandwidth that they need.
Okay, now let's make this a little customer-centric and see how it's going to work. So I'm in the SPC area. I'd like to be the first on my block to get this, or along with other people on my block. Am I going to need any internal wiring changes?
No. Actually,
is it going to come in through my phone line?
It's going to come in through their phone line, and
right.
What we're going to provide over that is integrated IPTV,
right.
A next-generation broadband service that is faster than what they get today,
right.
Voice over IP,
right.
And we'll provide all of this over a suite of services to customers. And what customers get is that they gain additional control over flexible content.
Right.
So, for example, they could have video on demand, digital video recording, event notifications, and more as part of the service. And it can be shared via a number of IP-enabled devices like TVs, set-top boxes, PCs, PDAs, or phones.
Okay, now, do I have to buy a new TV to get a TV IP, IPTV?
No, that's the beauty of this service. It's all delivered to the television.
Right.
So it takes advantage of the bandwidth network that we're building.
Okay, so what's this going to cost me a month?
Well, we haven't announced the exact service or pricing yet. We're planning to have a service in market by the end of next year, 2005.
Right.
And so we haven't released that yet.
Okay. Now, how much is this going to cost per household on an approximate basis? How much is it going to cost you to deploy it?
With our fiber to the node technology,
right.
We're using fiber to the node in existing neighborhoods and fiber to the premise in most of our new construction areas.
Okay.
So if we used only fiber to the premise, it would cost us five times as much and four times as long.
Okay.
So what we're doing is by combining fiber to the node in existing customer locations and fiber to the prem in new construction areas, we can give customers the speed they want in approximately a fourth of the time and a fifth of the cost of only using fiber to the premise.
Okay, so this means on some of those rolling hills between L.A. and San Francisco that I pass, where they're putting in these new houses, those people will get fiber to the home. But here in Los Angeles, we're pretty much built up already. we'll get fiber to the node,
mm-hmm.
and then how do the signals get from the? Are these like big pedestals that cable uses, or what are these nodes you're talking about?
These nodes are actually equipment within the neighborhoods that exist already.
Right.
So what we do is, typically, it's been from the central office to a node would be served by copper.
Right.
This will be now served all by fiber.
Okay.
Which allows us to deliver increased bandwidth to a customer's home.
Now, and then the service from the node to the home is typically done how now, and will that be changed through this?
It will be done over copper.
Oh, okay. So essentially then, it'll instead of going copper from the central office to the node and then copper to the home, it'll go fiber to the node and then copper to the home.
That's exactly right.
And copper will be able to handle the greater bandwidth that will be delivered to the node by the fiber?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. We do a number of different things to the copper, using new compression technology, access technology, and we expand the bandwidth to customers' homes.
Okay. Now, has all the technology necessary to do this already been developed, or you still have to get back to the laboratory and make sure you've got some of these switching devices ready to go?
Well, that's a great question. Between now and 2005, we've already started on trials and will continue on trials.
Right.
We currently have in market several fiber to the premise trials.
Right.
And next year we will start fiber to the node trials.
Right.
We also have a variety of different trials for IPTV that's happening in the labs. And in fact, we announced in June that we were testing Microsoft's IPTV platform in the labs, and that testing continues.
Okay. Now, what, if anything, is this going to do to, on the content side, to distribution and production and so on? Are you going to be making arrangements with content producers, or are you going to be using intermediaries or subsidiaries, or how is that likely to work?
Well, we haven't announced our content strategy yet, but what this investment allows us to do is to provide a flexible amount of bandwidth for customers, because what we do is we, instead of using a broadcast distribution system,
right.
we actually use an IPTV distribution system. So we store the content at our servers and then stream what customers want to their home,
right.
freeing up bandwidth for other applications.
This is pretty much the solution of the video on demand problem that's been hanging around for 10 or 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely have a flexible amount of bandwidth to increase the amount of video on demand and content on demand that customers have been looking for.
Okay. Now, if I'm Warner Brothers or I'm Etopia Media, mm-hmm. who am I going to go to have my content carried on your system, or will it just be carried on my server here and their server a few miles over there in Burbank, and it'll just go through your network? In other words, are you going to be a gatekeeper in any way for the content, or are you just going to provide this as a service, and people who put their content on their servers will be able to take advantage of it?
Well, as I mentioned, we haven't released our exact content strategy.
Right.
We'll be developing that.
Right.
We just recently announced the hire of Dan York, who is our He is our Senior Vice President of Programming.
Right.
And he's got valuable experience in television content acquisition and programming. He's worked with, for example, HBO and In Demand.
Right.
So, you know, we're planning, obviously we're serious about delivering an IP-based entertainment alternative to customers.
Right.
And we're going to be able to do that through unique programming and interactivity.
Okay. Now, you've got a strong partnership with Yahoo. How's this going to affect what they do?
Well, again, we're not releasing our content strategy, but obviously, you know, what we're doing going forward is taking a look at all of our assets and determining how best to use them.
Okay. Now, what new services that are now not in existence and aren't really possible now will be made possible by this system?
Well, there are a number of things, and the biggest thing that we can talk about is integration.
Right.
And what that means is that, for example, you know, in a real-world example, say I have, you know, a messy guest room, which I do,
right.
and I want people to see new vacation photos. I don't want to bring them in the guest room, so I could export them to my television and show them on my TV.
Okay.
Another example, you know, of a future application would be having the ability to program your DVR from a wireless phone.
What does this mean for voice over IP? Does this mean that you're essentially going to try to shift a lot of traffic from circuit switch to voice over IP?
Well, what voice over IP allows us to do is to integrate it with other services.
Right.
And so if you look at, you know, from where we stand from a wireless wireline integration standpoint, SBC and our, we own 60% of Cingular.
Right, which now owns AT&T Wireless.
Right, exactly. So we've got a huge advantage there. And what customers have told us is, you know, they want to be able to access their voicemail in one place. So we've introduced a wireless wireline voicemail. The next step, obviously, would be a shared address book. And then future, having one handset for both wireless and wireline calls.
Ah, okay. So it means that you'll carry your phone around with you in your pocket, whether you're at home or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
It also means
that's in the future, but that's sort of the path we're headed towards.
It would also mean, presumably, that you could hook up your refrigerator, your stove, your television, your robot babysitter, or whatever you've got, to your cell phone and program those from wherever you are as well, right?
Yeah, the possibilities are endless, and I think that, you know, as we move forward, the thing that we're really looking forward to is, you know, we want this to be device agnostic so that, you know, we build a service that's built around a customer's lifestyle versus building a service around a device. And so, you know, this kind of platform allows us to do that by making everything IP-based.
Okay. Are there regulatory issues here, either on the state level or the federal level, that need to be resolved before you can go ahead with this?
Well, we recently made an announcement in October that we've decided to move forward because of there were some recent national public policy decisions.
This was the FCC talking about how rigorously they were going to regulate voice over IP, right?
Well, there's voice over IP, plus they made an announcement in the mid-October that indicated that these new IP-based networks were not subject to old rules designed for traditional telephone.
That was the one I meant. That's what I meant from the FCC.
Yeah, and that was in October. So there was, you know, that, and then also, obviously, there was a decision earlier that talked about fiber to multi-dwelling units.
Right.
Have to be unbundled. There was the triennial review order earlier this summer. There was sort of, you know,
a stream of decisions
that helped us give us the confidence that we could invest this.
Right. Okay.
And bring this new technology to customers.
All right. Did I ask you you didn't know yet how much this is going to cost people in a general range?
That's correct. We haven't released the specifics of the service or the pricing yet.
Okay. Does this complement or compete with more wireless implementation? At Unwired LA, we're particularly focusing on the plans here in Los Angeles to develop a citywide wireless broadband access system.
Mm-hmm.
Much of which will depend on the fiber optic network, a lot of dark fiber that the Department of Water and Power already has. How is that going to complement or compete with what you're doing?
Well, from our perspective, we really are focused on delivering connections that make our customers' lives easier. As you know, we offer DSL. We're now doing this fiber. We also offer Wi-Fi. We offer home networking. So there's a number of different connections that we provide to customers to make this a reality.
Will this synergize well with Wi-Fi deployments, either that you do or other people do, by providing a bigger pipe to the Wi-Fi backhaul?
Absolutely. I think that from our perspective, customers want to be accessible both at home and on the road. So making our service IP-based allows greater functionality there.
Okay. Is this something of a milestone in the transition from circuit switch to IP switching for communications?
I would say so. I mean, this is really, we're creating a new SBC here. And by focusing, you know, our services into an IP-based platform,
right,
and connecting it in the way that we are, what that allows for customers to do is that they no longer have to think about, okay, how am I going to handle this part of my entertainment needs while marrying it against this part of my communications needs. Now it's all together in one place, and it talks to each other.
So it's convergence with a vengeance.
That's a good way to put it.
All right. Well, thanks very much for putting it in all the detailed ways that you just have. And hopefully as this process continues, we'll be able to talk again and keep all of our listeners up to date on what's available for them.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Don't hang up, but I'm going to hang up the recording here. Thanks very much.